Welcome back. You're listening to A Woman's World. I'm Purvi Shah, and today I have with me clinical doctor and public health professional Rupa Patel. So Rupa, you were just speaking about some of the inspiring work and inspiring patients that you've had, HIV, AIDS patients particularly. And I believe your recent research in Gujarat has also been in relation to HIV, AIDS work. So I know it's in the initial stages, so you may not be able to say too much, but I'd love to hear a little bit about what is the project and how did you get involved?
So I think one very important element in my upbringing and kind of view of medicine was, in my family, I have a person that is homosexual or gay, and he's come out. And what's really important was to see the dynamics of, a conservative culture playing a part in family dynamics, social dynamics, mental health, etc. And I think what's important is that I wanted to somehow make sure that I was a part of change for that community. And I think that I wanted to work with gay males. Mm. And I think when I just only had multiple positive experiences through medicine with, having gay male patients, and most importantly, when I was encountering this unfortunate disease of HIV amongst gay males, and then how much social stigma and et cetera was affecting the patient and then even their ability to handle the disease. And so I basically contacted the Gujarat government and asked if I could work with some of their Ahmedabad city kind of AIDS specialists and do a study amongst gay men and their kind of knowledge of HIV, their testing practices, and other things that would be important to help bring about positive change in the prevention of disease or even initiation of treatment amongst that population.
It's amazing. I mean, throughout our conversation, you've referenced in different ways the importance of your family in terms of helping you with your, like, thinking about your career or from your grandmother and the importance of education and your mom being a medical professional as well, which we haven't really talked about. And then having a family member who's gay and out and what it means to work in that context in terms of dealing with elements that don't always support that. So I think it's amazing that you've decided to take your professional work and figure out how to be an ally. And, to do that is really profound. I mean, how do you feel like, I know that you kind of have come to this work as wanting to be a supporter, but how do you feel like the work has changed you?
I think the work has definitely given me more of a open-minded view of things in the sense of be patient, listen, and just absorb. Mm. And, let things unravel for itself. For example, in India, listening to the stories of the men that were thrown out of their houses or what they were, selling themselves to, make a living, etc. And then, what they needed and what their ideas of change were. I definitely like having all these interactions and experiences. It's just more like, the answers are already there and you really need to just support the people that are telling you the answers. Or bring the community together that has these different answers and kind of move toward a direction. And I think that instead of imposing my own views, which is sometimes what rigorous medicine may do, or that patient-doctor relationship, you have this and you need to take this medicine. And that's changed my practice. Like, I first listen to my patient and hear them say what they think they need. Mm. And that's how we prioritize it, And eventually we'll get to smoking cessation, which may be to me on the top of the list. But, no one's going to, do something if you impose it on them. They have to be ready for that. So I think that's just how it's changed me, is like being more flexible and more understanding of how, you know, it's going to shape itself, that patient-doctor relationship or that community mobilization kind of project that you're doing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I think one of the reasons that I wanted to do this show is just the power of listening, right? And the power of conversation. And I think, you know, you're talking about it at a very practical level in terms of people's lives and health. But I think it's so profound in terms of the range of topics you're talking about. I mean, one of the things I'd love to discuss a little bit more is also mental health, which seems like such an area that, you know, as you say, even in the United States, this is not readily accessible. And I'd love to hear, in your experience, you know, what are some of your thoughts around mental health access and services delivery, and how can we do that better?
I think mental health is a very tricky issue, mainly because a part of mental health is with addiction. And I think that's all, just for time and time again, it's been a very difficult path to try to get the substance abuse you know, addict to kind of come clean for many years. And so I think that's one of the challenges of mental health, is the repetitiveness of how people fall into addiction. And because of that, you know, services are not continuous. And sometimes you can't build and you can't grow. Whereas maybe in my non-mental health clinic, you know, just my pure medicine, internal medicine clinic, you know, we're making strides on something as simple as weight change for, you know, diabetes prevention. And I can see week by week we're progressing. And I think with mental health, sometimes we get there and then with the addiction, we fall back and then it's hard to even access that person. You're calling them over and over and trying to get them to come back. And so, again, part of HIV is interlaced with IV drug use and substance abuse, whether that substance abuse was before or even as a byproduct of depression from HIV. And so I think that's one genre of mental health. And the other genre is just pure schizophrenia and, you know, other mental health diseases where I don't think, unfortunately, the patients are looked at the same. And it's very, sometimes it's very sad. You know, they're not treated in the same way because some people, some healthcare providers don't think that they can comprehend, you know, certain understandings of follow up or even just getting initiation into health. And, you know, I have to clarify, I'm not a mental health expert, but I think it's an intertwined in everything we do, from, you know, my part-time job in the urgent care and seeing the schizophrenic patient, and calling the psychiatric doctor to help me out and to assume care of that patient. Or, like I said, trying to get my, patient with HIV on his medications, but I can't because I lost follow-up because he fell into this bout of binge drinking and I haven't found him for like 2 months. So how I think one of the biggest things for mental health and the strides in mental health and it's happening is that is the integrative service, is make sure like all the first-time providers are first point of contact providers are all talking to us, each other. So the ER doctors talking to the psychiatrist, the HIV doctors incorporating mental health services, you know, with their regular HIV or internal medicine or whatever services. And I think that's a resource, you know, kind of dependent issue. You know, do they have those same resources in New Mexico? I don't know. Or other, you know, parts of the America where maybe there are not as many hospitals. And then definitely the developing world where the view of mental health is just a social stigma in itself.
I mean, you're raising so many profound issues and needs that exist. And also, I mean, I'm just struck by the care in which, you know, you talk about follow-up and how, you know, you it isn't just a one-time interaction. And, you know, you're talking about such serious issues, sometimes lifelong diseases, sometimes, you know, social contexts that are so deeply saddening. I mean, how do you, as a person and human being, keep yourself resilient and motivated, because this must be exhausting, you know, to have like all of these stories and to care and to be, you know, not simply treating it just as a job, but as something that you want to do to, as a human being, you know, to with another human being. So how do you take care of yourself and how do you keep yourself motivated?
I think part of this, we always go back to the family, but, you know, I just grew up with my mom having like 15 patients in our house all the time because, you know, at 1 a.m, so-and-so calls, doesn't have insurance, and they're a Gujarati immigrant, and she would come to our house, and my mom would check in the little kid's ear, or, you know, we'd be going to the grocery store, and mom's like, oh, someone has high blood pressure, we're making a detour, so we do a home visit. So, you know, growing up, I just saw this as part of medicine. I saw that medicine, to be a good provider, it was like your family, that patient, you know? Like how you were going to treat your grandmother is how you were going to treat your patient. And that's how I feel like my mom does it and how I learned. And like I said, every doctor has their own philosophy and how much they want to get into their patients' lives. But that's why I chose my profession. Like my profession is of continuity, and that's primary care, internal medicine. And so I think everyone just has their natural kind of ways of balancing themselves. And, you know, for me, that's rock climbing, that's cooking, that's running, that's traveling. But I still always, you know, love doing the work I do, and I'm inquisitive. Even when I went to Thailand and I went kite surfing, I like wanted to sit in the gay hot spots and see like what their, you know, what, you know, gay Thailand look like compared to gay India, you know? So
what is kite surfing?
Kite surfing, it's where you attach yourself to a kite and you put yourself on a board and you hope that you can multitask with wind and water and don't blow away.
And clearly you've survived, but that sounds like an amazing experience.
Yeah, of course. It's also taught me how to like multitask and be patient and, you know, be a little more adventurous and not have fear.
So, Rupa, I'd love to hear, you know, you have all this experience both in Bangladesh, now in Gujarat, and also in the United States. And I'd love to hear, where do you envision your work going forward? And, you know, do you envision using some of the skills or techniques that you've learned overseas here? Or do you plan to spend more time overseas?
You know, it's interesting you ask this question, because I think about this all the time, and I'm coming closer to a formulated response. And I've been in training for so long, like the years of public health and, you know, taking a year off to understand research and data entry and like impact evaluation and all the years of medicine. And, you know, at the end of the day, I want to have people to have more access to things. And whether that be, you know, mental health services, if you're a gay man in India, or if you're a woman that needs just a basic, you know, breast exam because something looks funny on my breast and that, you know, I need to go somewhere in Bangladesh to get it. And so I decided I wanted to do community formulated programs. But with all my technical experience, I wanted to be the slight technical advisor, you know, not change a lot of what there's, you know, of what so-and-so might tell me, just the person from the community. Like I said, the gay man literally that I had tea with on the stoop in Gujarat, or the woman that's like sitting in her no electricity house and telling me that she spends this much money to cross rivers. And I want to take their ideas and help them model them and help them prove that, you know, there's an impact. And then I just want to help them take their ideas on a larger scale. Because, you know, they're going to know what resources they have. They're going to know what access they have. They're going to know what their desire is and what they value as, like, why to go to the doctor and why not. Or what's, like, what their husband will allow or what their mother-in-law. Like, you know, I'm just here to be a support mechanism. And I studied all these years to just help people maybe refine some things and to bring them to another avenue, whether that be another academic center or a doctor or a connection.
It's really powerful. I think it's a powerful way of enabling and, you know, seeing health in a broader context of empowerment. So thank you, Rupa, so much for sharing that. I believe also that you have, in Bangladesh, there's an NGO that you work with. If you could give out that information, if there's a website that people can look at to get more information, that would be great.
Yeah, I have helped some paramedics formulate an NGO, and it's called Onkur, O-N-G-K-U-R. And the website is www.onkur.com. And again, the spelling is O-N-G-K-U-R.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Rupa, for coming in to A Woman's World and sharing a little bit of your work and the powerful impacts that you've been able to have in terms of health. So thank you so much.
And thank you, Purvi, for having me on the show.
So thank you all for tuning in to A Woman's World, and I look forward to connecting with each of you again very soon.